Welcome to the Rock Fight, where we speak our truth, slay sacred cows, and sometimes agree to disagree. This is an outdoor podcast that aims for the head. I'm Colin True, and joining me today, he's still hoping to make the roster for the LA Kings playoff push. It's Justin Houseman!
You should probably learn how to ice skate first, but...
Oh, you haven't done that part yet?
No, I mean, that seems like the least important. not really. Actually, that's the coolest part of watching hockey, to be honest.
As an ice hockey, I guess I could still call myself an ice hockey player, even though I'm not currently playing ice hockey. There's a huge contingent of folks our age who start playing at our age. So just put that in your back of your head for, like, you know, later in life. You can start to play ice hockey.
That's amazing. Really? They'd start in their 40s.
I know a lot of people who started playing ice hockey at 40 years old. A lot of, like, learn to play leagues and stuff like that around.
That's cool. I mean, what a fun looking sport.
Today, we're going to run through some of the more notable or exciting headlines that come out of the outdoor industry over the past week and the outdoor community of the past week. But before we get to that, we're recording this. It's Friday, April 5th. You're hearing it on Monday, April 8th. And that means that in between, we had ourselves a weekend. Oh, I left last week's joke in there. I can't read that. But that also means it's time for America's favorite podcast segment, What is Justin Doing This Weekend? Presented by Long Weekend Coffee. So, Justin, what are you doing this weekend?
Well, I was supposed to hang out with you, remember?
Was this the weekend?
Yeah, this is the weekend. You were supposed to come up.
Oh, because I was taking my daughter to Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
That will be, that is locked in, the 21st. I will see you on the, if you're available, on the 21st. Our tour is now the 22nd.
Well, that was my big plan. I might still do it, I guess. Go surf Santa Cruz on Sunday.
Oh, right on.
I'm thinking about just making it like a driving weekend. It's spring, like everywhere is green and like gorgeous. It's a little, the weather's not great. It's kind of cold. Like actually this afternoon, I might like drive up to Mendocino just to do it. It's been a while since I've been up there.
Like get a sandwich or something?
Cruise, yeah. Just like put some good music on. Just like, it's such a beautiful drive. It's insanely gorgeous. So yeah, I think it might be a driving weekend this weekend. I got the little one with me tomorrow. The 2.5-year-old, it's just her and I can't remember why. So that'll be an absolute, well, I don't know what it'll be. It'll be fun.
I think you need to do an update of your adventure toddler column now that she's like 2.5, you know?
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Good idea. Right? Yeah. Because I don't take her in the backpack anymore. She walks.
Right.
So yeah, that could be kind of fun. Yeah.
Maybe does it drive you crazy when you see people with larger children in strollers and backpacks?
No, because they walk so damn slow. And you're like, oh, let's go get dinner downtown. And you're like, oh, it'll take an hour if we just regularly walk, or we could put it in the stroller and it'll take 5 seconds. So no, I don't. It doesn't make me mad. It did before I had kids, but now I'm like, oh, I get it. There's probably a reason.
I don't know. Sometimes you see the kid and like their knees are up past their ears, and I'm like,
well,
come on, man.
I mean, let's go. Every once in a while, the soon to be 5-year-old will get in the stroller, and she kind of looks like that, but she's just like playing around.
No, but
you can sort of tell when there's like a kid who's like riding a stroller who's too big for it, who like does it every day and they still use the stroller. Like, I think that's what you're talking
about. There you go. There's a specific type. This isn't the 5-year-old jumping into the 2-year-old stroller whatever. You know, this is like, no. The parents are still want their kid in the stroller. Much more about the parents than the kid here.
Yeah. Cause we'll walk down to the pizza place tonight probably. And I'll probably try to put the 2-year-old in the stroller because it's just like, dude, like otherwise it's just like we're gonna get a block from the house and she'll be like, I want to come up, and you're like,
What Justin is doing this weekend is presented by Long Weekend Coffee. If you want to start off your days and your adventures and all your weekends the right way, you head to longweekend.coffee. You load up on a giant batch of beans, especially the secret handshake, guys. I keep telling you to get the secret handshake. If none of you bought the secret handshake, I don't know what to say. I wish I could rate my listeners right now, because you're not buying Secret Handshake. You're not helping out the Rock Fight. And so at checkout, enter the promo code ROCK10 and get 10% off your first order. Long Weekend Coffee. More weekend, please.
Have we talked about what a great name Secret Handshake is? Probably have.
We mentioned it, I think, last week, but really I don't mind saying it again.
It's a good name. It's a really good name.
It's just a really good name. Hey, this is kind of a headline to kind of kick things off, because yesterday the Daily reported on data released by research firm Circana. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's showing the top 10 brands that are the fastest growing brands at outdoor sports specialty retailers. So today we're going to play a quick game to see how many of these Justin can guess, because Justin is a journalist, he's a gear reviewer. But it's kind of great because you're not like wired in though to the daily machinations of the industry, but you're still really in tune with brands and gear and apparel, right? So I want to see how many of these you can list, because there are some. I think there's some obvious ones on here that I'll be surprised that you don't get.
Uh huh.
So, and then there's definitely some that I'd be like, oh, really?
That's have you heard of? Had you heard of all of them?
Yes, there's not one on here that I was unfamiliar with. And I'll give you one hit. The one I thought was almost entirely direct to consumer, so I was kind of surprised it was on here.
Huh? But you'd heard of it?
Oh yeah. No, no. This might be like the most notable one on here in terms of like popular brands and like culture.
And
today.
This is top fastest growing.
Fastest growing brands at sports specialty. And I'll say there are, I'll give you other hints I'll give you. There's hydration, there's footwear, there's apparel.
Okay.
You know, accessories, I guess I'd call one without tipping it too much. Otherwise, if I say kind of more, you probably guess what it is.
All right. So here's what I got. I only wrote down eight, but hopefully by the time I get to maybe two more will pop into my head. Ready? Okay. So I have Yeti. I have Solo Stove. I have On Running. I have Hydro Flask. I have All Trails.
All Trails. Like the app?
The app. I don't know if that counts.
You don't sell an app at a retail store, though.
All right. Yeah, good point. Okay, so that doesn't count. I have Rad Bikes.
Rad Bikes.
You know, like the e-bikes. Rad Power Bikes.
Oh, okay. You're just saying like Rad Bikes.
No,
in
just
general.
Rad Bikes. Like, sick
they
bikes.
They got Rad Bikes in that shop.
I have Hoka.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the eight that I listed, but let me try and pull a couple out. You said apparel. Oh, I had Fjällräven.
Oh, that's a good guess. Yep. Okay. I would guess that one too.
Two, four, six.
That's eight.
That's eight.
Cause I had to take, well, that's eight with All Trails.
I almost want to put I don't know if this would count, but like an athleisure brand, like Athleta or Athleta.
Your athleisure brand is a good thing to guess.
Okay. So Athleta.
I think they all do their own shit. Do they do brick like wholesale?
I don't know.
I would do maybe a sock brand.
Really? Huh. It's not Fitz.
No.
I don't think it's Fitz.
I like Fitz, so they make really good products.
They make good socks, but I don't think it's Fitz. We were just talking about them the other day. It's not gonna be like Darn Tough. I mean, I guess it could be something like Smart Wool.
Smart Wool's pretty established.
Yeah, that's the hard part with these. Like, but you never know. Like, they go out of heater and all of a sudden that's true. They can't really be that big of a growing brand. Shit, I don't know. I'm stumped.
Do you want to go with Darn Tough?
Okay, I'll go with Darn Tough.
Okay, is that 10? 2, 4, 6. Yeah, that's 10.
Okay, let's hear it.
You did pretty well. You got 1, 2, 3. Three and a couple that, like, could probably swap it out. Okay. So the ones you got were Hoka.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah.
And Darn Tough.
Okay, all right.
The other ones on the list were Vuari.
I almost said that instead of Athleta. Yeah.
Yeah, that was what was so funny because Athleta, I think, is almost all their own because they're owned by the Gap. I think they just either in their own stores or whatever.
That's right. Okay.
But I didn't know that Vuari was at Sports Specialty. I just kind of assumed they were like, I knew they had their own stores and that they're counting their own stores in this list. I don't know. That one was surprising to me. Cotopaxi.
Really? See, they're pretty established, too. I mean, so
they're
Diddy
doing,
and
they're growing.
Stuff, but, okay, all right.
I don't really hear much from them anymore. They gave them on the pod a couple weeks ago. Yeah, they're growing really well.
Okay.
Stanley.
Oh, duh.
Yeah. Then that's kind of like in that Yeti, like,
hydroplastic. But that's also, like, that would have been, they've been around forever. So that's obviously just because of the stupid giant
thermos. I think next year, I'm surprised if they're on this list next year. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Helly Hansen.
I almost said them.
Really? Why? Because that was shocking. That feels
I feel like all of a sudden
outdoor.
I see their stuff everywhere. Like, it feels like I've noticed them a lot. Like, if I'm watching a clip of something and it's like not even outdoor related, it's like if it's someone's like reviewing a car, there might be in a Helly Hansen. Like, I just feel like I'm seeing them everywhere.
That's incredible. First of all, I love that. I love when like kind of old brands kind of poke their head up.
Yeah.
Hold on. When was Helly Hansen? I think they've been around.
They've been around for a really long time.
So long. It was 1877.
Yeah, I should have stuck to my guns with that. That seemed like an obvious one in retrospect. Just because
that's
I keep
funny.
Seeing
it that's what I did not see coming at all.
Yeah,
it's funny. My buddy Eric, who I worked with at Timberland, he's done some time at Keene and some other places. He just took over Royal Robbins.
Huh.
So I'm going to see him at GOA, and I'm very curious to like, what are you going to do with Royal Robbins? Because I mean, there's a ton of heritage and authenticity there, but they've been like Eddie Bauer, right? It's like, it's a outlet mall brand now,
right?
You know?
Right. So, right.
Oboes.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Oboes coming on strong.
Wow.
I mean, they're making that they're going for who would they take down? Merrill, right? I mean, that's category, that kind of soft hiker category.
Yeah.
Maybe should we do oboes on Gear and Beer?
I mean, I haven't had a pair of oboes since I got bought.
I've never had a pair of oboes.
Oh, I really like the ones I have, but it's been, you know, I don't know if they still make them. I don't know how different things are now that they're owned by Kathmandu.
take a look. And then I'm gonna save one for last. Cool was on the list.
Oh.
K-U-H-L.
Yeah, sure.
Who I kind of took a random shot at on my, kind of when I was talking with Wes Allen about Cotopaxi. I'm like, I wouldn't do an episode about Cool. You know, like I was so kind of like looking down my nose at Cool, but it's like, Frank, I guess they're growing. I mean, I always liked Cool. They make cool stuff, but I just don't think of them as sort of like one of those brands. You know,
it's interesting. If you go to, we have a really big independent hardware store in the next town over that has like a pretty cool like clothes section. I mean, they're like work clothes, but they have a huge Cool section. Yeah,
like Dickies and Carhartts and stuff like that.
Exactly. But they also have Cool.
No kidding.
Yeah, so there might be like they're
makes sense,
moving into that workspace.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I think of Cool as almost like the cotton outdoor brand, right? I think of plaid shirts and pants and stuff, not necessarily technical stuff.
I have some pants and some shorts from them. They're fantastic.
And the last one, this one blew me away, was 686.
All right. Same deal. I've got some of their stuff, and it's awesome. So,
but isn't it like mostly like, I just think of them as like skate and snowboard inspired.
Yeah, but they also have a lot of, I guess, but they, what do I have from them? If I'm going to ride a bike in the rain, I wear these, like, 686 pants I have.
Interesting.
And then they have some pretty nice, like, joggers that I really like. So they're not, like, moving at all in the athleisure space, but they make some kind of everyday stuff that's pretty cool. And their stuff is all, every time I've ever had any 686, I'm always like, this is really nice. So I'm not shocked.
I just like this list because, I mean, the Hokas and the Ons and even the Darn Toughs to a certain degree, it's kind of like, yeah, that makes sense. I think it's cool that you expected Helly Hansen to be there. I had not really thought about Helly Hansen much in a while. The Stanley, yeah, that's really the one you're like, whatever, that's going to, I mean, and you easily could have thought of that instead of saying Hydro Flask too, right? So it's an interesting list of brands. I mean, 686 and Vuari being on here, like that's kind of cool.
686 is the most surprising to me. Vuari, they're still new enough to where I'm not that surprised.
Right.
And now I like randomly get catalogs from them in the mail.
Yeah. So. And they're kind of coming into that like, oh, I need a pair of like, you know, workout shorts or something like that. I would probably go look at them. Like they'd be a brand. I'm like, oh, I'll go check out what Vuari has because I know they apparently make decent stuff. But
Yeah.
The other thing about this list was funny. A friend of mine actually, who I can't name because he's in the industry, but he sent me this article via Instagram and he commented that he finds it funny that The Daily is running a story like this and highlighting 10 growing brands, none of whom are attending their trade show this summer. So,
wow.
I was like, it's a really good point.
Yeah. Interesting.
Right.
Why? I mean, they don't need to. Stanley for sure doesn't need to.
I don't know if we said it, but you and I are going to be at OR this summer.
That's right.
So, we're going to be doing a live show, folks. So anyone listening to this who maybe is on the fence about going to Outdoor Retailer, you get to see the Rock Fight live at Outdoor Retailer this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'd
be doing a little gear and beer, but we'll talk more about that as we get closer. But all right, well, the next headline comes to us from The Inertia, who reported this week that according to data from the California Department of Healthcare Access and Information, ski-related ER visits in California rose 50% between 2016 and 2022. However, the number of people hitting the slopes remained the same, mostly the same throughout that period. According to the LA Times, some 6,000 people went from the slopes to the emergency room in 2022 alone.
6,000?
Yeah. So, again, this is still reading from the article. What's the root of the problem here? Well, according to the LA Times and local TV news station, KTLA, it's all about the weed and alcohol. Fireball whiskey, to be exact. And selfie sticks running rampant on our slopes. And also anecdotal conversations with skiers made mention that etiquette on the slopes was at an all-time low. Very few instances of skiers passing each other with the customary, you know, on your left, on your right, coming up behind you. You know, I didn't do any real, I'll be honest, I didn't like go deep to see if this is happening anywhere else, if this is a California thing. Yeah, but as someone who's sort of flirting with learning to ski, how does this sit with you?
Not good.
Honestly, This is my biggest problem with ski resorts, really, is like if you're paying to go a lot of money to go dodge human beings.
The Fireball whiskey in particular, why would they call them out?
I think that may have been a little editorial by the inertia folks writing.
Okay,
yeah. Maybe someone like commented on it from like that they interviewed, but
I mean, haven't people always had booze on like while skiing?
And,
I mean, that can't be a new thing. Yeah, that can't be a new thing.
That does feel like there's a pandemic, and I don't like to speak largely on. I don't want to speak on the larger culture, but even going to movie theaters, there does seem to be like etiquette coming out of the pandemic that people have sort of forgotten. And I know I'm like real close to like old guy on the couch right here with this kind of thing. Like these kids just don't understand anymore, or they don't do what we never acted this way when we were kids. But I don't know. Like this, I mean, those are hard numbers to deny here.
Yeah. So, I mean, the same kind of thing is happening. I'd be curious if there's more injuries in the surf world too, because surf etiquette's kind of out the window. There's more. I mean, what's interesting is that if the numbers are the same, I wonder if there's like a demographic shift where there's a lot of like newer skiers because old like boomer skiers are kind of retiring. So the numbers are the same, but maybe the percentage of sure. new skiers is higher. That's yeah, it's got
and more right because people learn to go outside during the pandemic.
Exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, that's got to be a lot of it. And like you know, you paddle out at a popular surf break now, and they used to be crowded with you know like good surf spots used to be crowded with people who could surf. Now they're crowded with people who can't, and right. so. Maybe it's the same thing in the mountains. I mean, every single time I go anywhere near, if I go like tubing with my kids or whatever, and like, we're like, oh, let's go like get a beer and like hang out at the bottom of the hill. I always see ski patrol bringing somebody down like every single
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised to hear that, but 6,000 people is a lot.
That's a lot of people. Like I said, I'd be curious if this is happening in other places, but man, like, you know, my whole thing about ski resorts, when I could say it's not an outdoor activity because it's an activity that takes place yeah. outdoors.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's like, this is not, it's so much money to go skiing now, like so much money. Think about it, if you wanted your family of four, there's a grand just to show up.
Yeah,
wild. You probably don't even have rentals yet, and there's a grand to show up, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, and then you got to stand in line and deal with this. I mean, the last time I went skiing was up at Big Bear, and yeah, there was someone just came like ripping into the base area, you know, and like yelling at some kind of like tripod that was like, you know, that could barely stand, you know,
wow.
And I'm just like, and I'm like, man, this is. Even if that person like should have gotten out of your way, like slow down, man. Like you're coming into the base area. Like it just makes it not fun.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's got to be the newcomer thing. Cause like I wouldn't know anything about etiquette for that sort of stuff. I mean, other than just common sense.
But couldn't you figure it out? I mean, I think you would know like between from biking and from surfing
well, yeah,
and everything else.
Common
to be
sense.
Like, yeah.
But like when I talk to people who are like, hey, you want to learn how to ski? Are you going to go take lessons? And I always say I was, but I've realized how much it's going to cost. And I've decided not to. Like, oh, you'll just be fine. Just like go up to the greens. You'll be fine. It's like, that's probably happening all the time where people
yeah.
are just like showing up and like, I don't know. And like kind of drifting across the run and getting like, someone's just, you know, comes down full speed, hits them and just tomahawks their way down to the bottom. I mean, I'm sure that's happening all the time.
Yeah. Well, if anyone out there is in a ski state or lives in a ski town or whatever, and if they can, you know, this is a California only thing. Maybe that's just a problem here, but I kind of have to feel like it's probably happening in other places too.
Yeah.
Reach out, you know, myrockfight@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from anybody else on this topic for sure. The next headline I pulled from backpacker.com, Carson City is looking to pay two hikers $5,000 each to walk from the capital of Nevada, which is Carson City, to Canada to tell the tale of the new Capital to Tahoe Trail. So it's a new trail that they finished just this past fall that connects over to the PCT trail. Actually, sorry, it connects to the Tahoe Rim Trail and then to the PCT.
Yes.
So you get to go leave the capital city of Nevada, Carson City, and hike 1,600 miles to the Canadian border, and they want to pay people to do this. So looking for two hikers. Basically, it becomes down to like $3 a mile. I don't know, man. You ready to pack it in and get paid to go hike for the rest of the summer?
I was trying to think about whether that would be worth it. I mean, like, obviously, if you want to do that anyway, I mean, why wouldn't you? But for like $5,000 isn't a huge amount of money for how much time that is going to like take. Like,
it's
not like quitting your job money over it. What's interesting?
I guess it depends how fast you hike.
True. What's interesting about it is that I think the section of a trail they built is only like 15 miles long.
Like, so it's just linking up with like the established
yeah.
trails.
It's like it's a connector trail.
So what's the point? Why are we like? Why do they want to bring
it everywhere?
Attention
like, I mean, it's a big story. Like everybody wants to go to Carson. I mean, everyone's like, because you probably Googled Carson City, and you're like, oh, where could I stay? Maybe I'll go there anyway. I mean, it's a good marketing thing. It's a really
is
good
Carson
marketing
City
thing.
Like just too well like well known for brothels that they need to like find ways to like bring a more wholesome content to it. Like what's
I don't
going
know if
on
I've
Carson
ever.
City?
I'm not even sure if I've ever been to Carson City.
No, I definitely have never been to Carson City. So maybe that's what they're going for here.
Where
Let's
is
try
it?
And bring the hikers here. It's like south of Reno. I feel like.
Like way south? Oh, Carson Pass must go to Carson City.
No, yeah, because I think if I drive to Reno, I would go through Carson City on the
so
way.
So maybe
out,
I probably have been through it or something like that. I mean, it's funny. That shouldn't be a detracting statement that it's like a short connector hike.
No,
because it's like, it's funny. I remember reading this. I remember reading this in like a surf magazine like so long ago. And it was some little offhand joke that one of the writers made about how they had gotten like, think they were like, they had driven from like California to New York or something like that. And they got pulled over and they were getting a ticket somewhere. And the cop was like, surprised they had a surfboard and was like grilling him about it. And the writer said something like, hey man, how crazy is it that I can just like leave my front door in like Southern California and like drive right here? Like the roads took me right here, like all this way. Isn't that wild? And like, I know that sounds kind of dumb, but it is kind of crazy to think about how every road leads to like another road that leads to where you want to go. Like it's pretty wild. And so
it's
like
pretty cool.
It's kind of neat with the trail too, right? It's just a little connector trail, but it's pretty cool that like they built something like that. Like I was thinking about this when I first saw the story. Like, I wonder if I could hike to the PCT from here.
Do you have a long trail in you?
I've thought about it before. I mean, if I did, it also depends on what you mean. Like, I don't think I would do one of the big ones, you know, like I don't really have a lot of,
I guess that's kind of what I mean. I mean, I think you could do like the JMT for 3 weeks. So that seems pretty like attainable.
I think that's what I would do. I have very little interest in the Appalachian Trail. Probably that's a West Coast bias and I feel bad about it, 'cause I'm sure if I went there, I would love it. But, that to me doesn't seem that interesting.
See, I think if you were going to do it, that would be the one to do because it's so different than anything else you've experienced.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. So maybe that would make it more worth doing and make it more interesting. I don't have any interest in the PCT. I'd rather pick that off in sections. I don't think I want. Yeah. I don't think I need 6 months of being on trail. I think that would get to me.
That's what I mean. I flirted with that. Like, man, it'd be kind of cool just to punch out and go like do like the 6 month thing and like meet people and get a trail name and be that guy for a while. I don't think I'd really end up like doing it. I think I would not, that it wouldn't be like I can't do this, I can't physically overcome it or whatever. I just think eventually I'd be like bored and not want to be doing it anymore.
That's exactly it. Yeah. I think, especially because a lot of that, well, I mean, really once you get out of the desert, I mean, a lot of that's going to be pretty similar.
What about the CDT? Because I mean, that sounded like that's a little more wild, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like fewer people do it. Is that kind of one that, is that almost?
That would pique my interest more than the Pacific Crest Trail for whatever reason.
Just because it is that a little more, you actually have route. So you can choose your own adventure a little bit more on the CDT versus the other ones.
I just think it would be, I guess, you know, now it's funny, the amount that you mentioned it, I'm thinking, God, the Appalachian Trail would be interesting because it would be so different for me. And like the CDT would be too. You know, I haven't been everywhere in the Sierra, but I'm pretty well versed in the Sierra. And
plus you're a history guy. The AT's got like real, there's a lot of history.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I also like the idea that like you can just like pop in and get like dinner somewhere like with your, like randomly, you know, that seems cool. I just feel like every picture I see of like 90% of the trail, it's like all in the same, it's just like in a really dense forest with like not great views.
That would get to me too.
I mean, it's all a moot point. I'm not going to do any of them. I mean, I would like to do the JMT. That has some like relevance to me. I'm pretty in love with the Sierra. There's sections there I won't have seen. And like, it seems pretty, you know, something I could do without it being terribly life disrupting.
All right. So our last story, while Jasmine Paris was on the course at the Barkley, another female first record was happening in Alaska, where Sunny Stroer completed the Iditarod Trail Invitational on skis. She was the first female to accomplish this feat in the race's 24-year history. The Iditarod Trail Invitational is the world's longest winter ultramarathon, and Stroer started in Anchorage, skied 950 miles over 29 days, 22 hours and 6 minutes. She finished Tuesday, March 26th in Nome and had temperatures and face temperatures as low as negative 45 degrees Fahrenheit.
God.
So I was thinking about this when I was reading this, because this actually came, I read this in this is a press release from Loa, who was like her boot sponsor. Okay. And you know, the Iditarod Sled Dog Race has been around since 1973. This has been around for 24 years. You know, we throw these hyperboles around, like the ultra running scene. You and I just did it like last week talking about Jasmine Paris at the Barkley, and it's deserved. I mean, it's not to say like these aren't incredibly hard things, but whether it's that or the Tour de France or whatever, I just kind of feel like the Iditarod is kind of like just sitting there when you're talking about these things, being like with their hand up, being like, hey, don't forget about me.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. Yeah.
Like, why don't we talk about the Iditarod? Either the sled dog race or this. It's incredible.
Well, there's also so many different ways you can do it. I mean, I didn't know that there was a ski version, but of course there is. You know, Kurt Refsnyder, again, he did it on a bike. Longtime Adventure Journal contributor Mike Kuriak is like an Iditarod, like fat bike legend, and like he's done it. But then, of course, the dog one is weird. Like, it captures everybody's attention in the national media. We almost never really talk about it at Adventure Journal for some reason.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Because what is more badass than that?
I don't know.
It's incredible.
We did a little I did a little story maybe a month ago or so on, and I can't pronounce her name. I'm not even going to try. But this Inuit trans woman who just completed it, and she completed it a few times, the sled dog race, mm-hmm. and does really well every time she does it. And so, but obviously the story is it's a video, and it's a really pretty, really well done like little short film about her, and it's not like. It's kind of what you think, you know, it's showing the difficulties of the race, but also the difficulties of her kind of like making this transition. But, sure. it's really just more about the sled dog race. And, it's one of the most like real videos I've seen of it, in the sense of like the monotony, but also the beauty. And I just can't like, I can't imagine doing a sled dog race like that. I can imagine skiing it. I can imagine riding a bike on it, because that's just kind of you doing your thing. But having to like manage all the dogs, and having to manage their, you know, what if they get hurt? Like, you know, like just feeling like responsible for like, you know, 10, 12 other beings seems like a big commitment too. So anyway, I just don't know why we don't spend more time with it, because it is a pretty spectacular event.
Do you think it's because we can wrap our head around, like, even the barking is brutal, but you can wrap your head around it, right? 100-mile ultramarathon, you can sort of wrap your head around it and be like, oh, my God, I'd never do that. Even the Tour de France, right? It's like, it's these daily stages. It's on TV. You can kind of get it. But then if you talk about, like, you know, the Great Divide race and these other long, or the Iditarod, these things that take a month to do.
Yeah.
I mean, this is truly the intersection of endurance and adventure, not just endurance, right? You know, it's not, there's no... You know, like you and I could volunteer at a 100-mile ultramarathon and be like the guys running the tent, like, you know, handing out food to everybody. But that's like 12 hours of our life and then it's over, right? And these are just huge undertakings. But I think that makes them even that much more impressive.
What's the longest you've been outside?
Without going inside?
Yeah.
I mean, no more than like 3 days probably. At the end of the day, maybe four?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's been over four, except probably somewhere between 4 and 5. You?
At least 10, but was potentially that in the archaeology more. Days? Yeah. Potentially more, but I think I was probably up there for maybe, I'm sure I was up there for like 2 or 3 weeks without coming out.
Yeah. Mine was like doing river trips for that long. And I think, but both those things are kind of, I don't know. The idea of being out for 29 days, skiing every single day for 950 miles in the middle of winter in Alaska.
I personally would have a problem with monotony like that. That would be other than like take fitness and stuff out of the equation. I think for a while, like that would be tough.
But just back to the feat itself, right? So like the last week I've seen Jasmine Paris everywhere. I've seen her on podcasts. I've seen videos about it. She's everything in our world here has been about Jasmine Paris at the Barkley.
Right.
You know, Cole Brouwer definitely had like a week where she was like the dominant story of like finishing that race.
Yeah.
Like I said, the only thing I've seen about Sunny is a Loa press release that probably spent more time talking about the boots she was wearing than her herself. No offense, Loa, but I get why you did it. Why is no one talking about this? This is a crazy, huge accomplishment.
So men have done it, obviously, right?
Right.
I mean, that could be it, I guess. But well, I don't
men
know.
Finished the Barkley.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know why that Barkley thing. I mean, honestly, if she didn't have those incredible photos of her collapsed over that, like, that railing, like, I'm not sure.
Like, that's a good point. If she'd finished with, like, an hour to spare, I was like, hey,
and just
kind of
came through
it.
Slapping fives. Like, I'm not sure. But, that, like, it's, like, one of those iconic, like, what was that, there was that show like in the 80s and 90s, the sports show where the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. What was that show? Do you remember that show?
I don't know.
And there was like the opening was always like a ski jumper falling off the edge of the end of the ramp. You don't remember this?
I probably saw it. Wild World of Sports. Yeah.
Like Jasmine Paris's, you know, face at the end of that race seemed like something you would have if there was going to be a Wild World of Sports now, like her face would be in there. But also just the strangeness of that race is very newsworthy.
Yeah.
Skiing 950 miles in Alaska probably isn't as much. I mean, even though I would think that's a much more difficult thing to do. But
29 days.
But it's also different. I mean, Jasmine had to finish that whole race in a time frame.
Yeah,
and
60
you know,
hours.
Like, there's no, you know, so like, I don't know. But
I think, so even if it's crass to ask the question, which feat's more impressive?
I don't know. It's actually an interesting question. I mean, I guess on the surface, I would say the Iditarod. I mean, it's just so much further.
There's wolves and bears. I mean, all sorts of stuff out there that she probably would have encountered.
That's the crazy thing when you can see that. See, to me, it's funny when we talked about what's the most badass thing you could do. Did polar exploration ever enter our chat.
Yeah, and shame on us.
I mean, because like one of the fascinating things to me about I don't know if I've talked about it that much on this podcast, but you know, I've covered Ralph Plaisted and the Plaisted expedition a ton of times, and he's the guy that led like the group of random snowmobile just dads up to the North Pole in 1968.
I think we've talked 69. About this before, but it may have just been you and me. I can't remember if we said it on the pod.
I can't remember talking about it on the pod, but like I've written about him for AJ a couple of times. It's a fascinating story. I actually have there's somewhere out there in the universe, there's a script being written for a movie based on the article I wrote, although I need to check in with those guys and see what's going on with it. But, you know, one of the things that I always have found fascinating about that story isn't necessarily just so much the, you know, weeks they spent on the ice and dealing with the snowmobiles and the questioning of themselves, and these are not like expedition veterans at all that did this. They're just regular guys. It's just like, they would talk about it sometimes in their journals and stuff, but just the almost unbearable bleakness of the landscape, you know? Cause up, especially up there, like it's not like Alaska, where there's mountains. I mean, you're just on ice for weeks and that's all you see. And like that sense of like isolation to me would be completely unbearable. I don't think I'd be able to deal with it.
I agree with you.
And so even in a place like Alaska where you're on solid ground, I still think that would be a really difficult thing for me to deal with. Just the constant snow. And like, you know, like Jasmine Paris could have like stopped running and just laid there and been okay. Like if you know, you can't just like stop when it's minus 45 in the middle of nothing in Alaska.
You have no choice.
You have no choice. Yeah. So there's something to me that is just vitally important about taking into account the landscape in a situation like that. So to me, that's always going to be super freaking impressive. And something, frankly, like I know I'll never do. I mean, I've done hut trips on cross country skis, you know, and, you know, I don't think I've gone further than 12 miles in one stretch doing that. And that's really hard. I mean, it'd take a long time to build up to be able to go 950 freaking miles. Pretty impressive.
Well, Sonny Stroher, we'll recognize you here on the Rock Fight, even if, you know, everyone else is kind of missing the boat on this one.
Is it is it because the Iditarod is a funny word, funny name?
I like your observation, especially as someone in outdoor media who writes for a publication called Adventure Journal. This is kind of observed, like, we don't really talk about the Iditarod much when it comes around every year. And I mean, this year, I texted you after it happened. There was a whole thing this year where the guy had to kill a moose. And there's a rule about if you have to kill a moose, you have to dress the moose. I mean, it's all, and you know, and he got penalized because he apparently didn't do it properly or something, whatever happened in that scenario. Like, that's a crazy story. That doesn't happen on most of the other stuff we talk about.
Yeah. Why? Why?
It's a good question. I mean, talk about a race with dogs and you have to carry guns because you might get charged by bears, wolves, or moose. I mean, that's kind of badass.
I mean, it's very badass and it's super adventure-y, but it doesn't quite, it's hard to explain. It doesn't quite, I think probably because it's super niche and very few people actually dog sled. So it doesn't feel accessible.
Well, that's true. You know, like, I mean, Western States will be here in a few months and that'll be, they'll do like a live show, right? And they cover, even people report on like Hard Rock around the, like these ultra marathons now are getting like, they're trying to make them more of a thing where like they're covered, like you would cover the Tour de France, which I think is kind of silly. I don't get the appeal, but how many people run? Like everybody runs. No one rides a dog sled, right? Or drives a dog sled, I should say. So that's probably what it is. Still, you know, come on.
Well, I mean, I'm more like right now, like if I was to sit here down and write an article, I'm more inclined to write one about Sonny than I am whoever won the actual dog sled race.
That's true.
So.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, man. That's all I got. What do you got going on?
What do I have going on? We're wrapping up. Well, not really wrapping up. We're starting to get to the point where we're going to consider wrapping up AJ 33.
Really? That far along?
The summer issue. Well, sort of. I have a couple more pieces to turn in. But you know, stuff's coming in and it's kind of, you know, we're trying to get a little ahead of it. So, that's cool. That'll be my focus. Still working on some Surfer Magazine stuff. I got a couple pieces there, but, just, you know, same old raising the kids, enjoying spring.
I think we're going to run another, rose colored Hausman next week. Okay. Rockfight.co. So I gotta get a few more of those from you. Okay. Yeah, you know, you said you had dozens.
No, I do. I'll grab some. I have hundreds. I'll grab some today. I really will.
All right, before you move on to the next podcast, which, if you haven't heard, the latest Gear and Beer, it is up. It came out this past Friday. We talked about Hoka and and Athletic Brewing. It was great. We had a whole, like, NA beer. Justin and I both tasted a beer for the first time. We've never had this beer before on mic. You get to hear that. It was great. So head over to rockfight.co and listen to that. Also, sign up for our newsletter. And, that's all we got for you. That's what we got for you today. So The Rock Fight, it's a production of Rock Fight LLC. For Justin Hausman, I'm Colin True. Thanks for listening. And here to take us out is Krista Makes with the Rock Fight fight song. We'll see you next time, Rock Fighters. Rock Fight!